This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
We are going to come to the Mercosur deal, which I know you have been texting in on your droves about today, following the Taoiseach's announcement that Ireland is going to vote against it. If you do want to contribute to our conversation on this over the next half hour, do get in touch, because the number is 087 1400 106. And I know lots of the Hard Shoulder listeners feeling really strongly about it. Ireland has confirmed today that it is going to vote against the Mercosur trade deal. However, it is still expected that the agreement will be approved by the EU tomorrow. To discuss these developments, I'm joined now by President of the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, Dennis Drennan, Dan O'Brien, who's a Chief Economist with the Institute of International and European Affairs and columnist with The Currency, and John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carlow and Kilkenny. To come to you first, John, how important was it to get that clarity from Taoiseach Micheál Martin, who seemed to suggest yesterday that he may be open to voting with this deal, but has now firmly closed the door on that?
I think that it was hugely important for the Taoiseach to clarify the government's stance on Mercosur, particularly given the fact that the Minister for Agriculture had expressed a different view to that argued by the Taoiseach. I also think it was important because beef farmers in Ireland, yes, I think they need to be protected from the likes of the South American beef. We have had the reports from Brazil exposed by a county man of my own, John Bryan, in the Irish Farmers Journal some 20 years ago. And I can recall sitting at the World Trade Talks in 2008 on behalf of the government. Mercosur was being discussed, and the issues that faced Mercosur, such as the illegal antibiotic trade, uncovered the medicines and the lack of records and so on, no database, no tagging. All of that was discussed back then, and nothing has improved.
What would have been the consequences if Micheál Martin had kind of changed position and voted to with the majority of countries in Europe for Mercosur?
Well, I don't believe he could have changed, because we had canvassed on this in the last general election, and we spoke to farming organisations and to big business as well, because they will be affected by this, and we explained that we will be voting against Mercosur. And there's a majority within the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party, and I know in Fine Gael, that would have, had a real serious problem should the Taoiseach have pursued the line that he was on, which is depending on the concessions. So there is a lot of upheaval politically in this country, and that this would have added significantly to the mood of the party and the opinion of the leader. I'm delighted that he changed his mind. I'm delighted that we're having a clear statement on supporting farmers against Mercosur.
OK, I want to bring in Dennis Drennan here. It doesn't really matter, does it, how Ireland votes tomorrow? It's completely symbolic, because it is going to be voted through.
Well, I think it's hugely important. I suppose we were disappointed with the lack of clarity from the government over the last number of months, and probably the last 2 years, that they weren't as vociferous on this as the French have been, and supporting their farmers. And it's not just about competing against these countries. Like we're willing to compete against any other production system in the world because we have probably one of the most sustainable production systems in the world. We have the best quality and the most traceable. And, you know, we adhere to all animal welfare regulations. Anything that their farmers want to look after their animals and produce the best quality meat we possibly can. But we can't be on a dual system in the European Union where if you want to buy, Ciara, if you want to change the tyre on your car on your way home, it has to be CE approved. It has to meet the European requirements. If you want to buy a kettle, a toaster, a hairdryer, they all have to meet the European standards. And here we are signing a deal, or the European Union are signing a deal to allow in food, with the most basic and important necessity in our lives, that doesn't meet the European standard.
But that's hold on now, Dennis. I mean, surely all the other EU countries who are supporting this, France, Germany, Spain, Portugal, Italy, the list goes on.
No, France's not supporting it.
I didn't mean to include them. They are surely all equally responsible towards their citizens, and they aren't concerned. They feel that the safeguards that are in place will protect their citizens. Why are we different?
Because other countries are willing to sell their farmers down to Swanee for the advantage of their automobile industry, pharma and tech. And if you look at, like, you can't buy anything in this country unless it has the CE approved and meets the European standard. Yet the most basic and most important thing that we all eat every day, we're now allowing in this substandard. You see what came from the Food Safety Authority in the last number of days, that Brazilian beef turned up in Ireland laced with hormones. So the checks and balances that are in place in the Mercosur countries are not sufficient to ensure that the consumer is getting what they think they're getting. And this is the main problem that we have.
OK, I want to bring in my other guest here. You're very welcome to the programme. In terms of the broad politics of all of this, Dan, how do you think this is going to be read in Europe?
Well, overall, I don't think it's going to be that significant. It'll be negative because the countries we've aligned ourselves to, particularly post-Brexit, are the Northern European countries, the Netherlands, the Swedes, the Finns, the Danes, who are historically big free trading countries. They're not historically countries that poison their own people. So, if I could respectfully say to industry people who I want to pick up on the worst possible framing of this, I go to Brazil a lot. I feed my own child Brazilian beef. I wouldn't do that if I thought there was any risk to it. So frankly, I think an awful lot of this stuff has been pumped up, and that's the perfect legitimate right of an interest group to do everything it can to protect itself. But the role of the government is to look at the wider national interest. As one of your speakers said, one of the big advantages for this is tech and pharma. Market down there in Latin America of 280 million people, we are world leaders in tech and pharma. These are the sort of things that really drive our economy. This would have been is going to be a great deal for us. We're going to get far more out of it than the downside, any possible downsides from it. We're a free trading country. I'm just really disappointed that the government has not put the national interest first and has allowed a small lobby group, an important lobby group, no doubt, but a small one in the wider economic sphere of things to dictate but policy on this. So I think, you know, we've lost. We're obviously going to be seen to have lost. Our natural allies are going to see Ireland's not really a true free trading country. They're really just, they give in to whatever interest group objects. So I think that's going to be negative. But we'll see. You know, come back to this in 5 years. Will the opening of trade with Latin America be a positive for us? We'll find that it is, just as we found that the opening of trade with Canada, which many people said would cause disaster, has proved a positive thing for trade and investment with Ireland and Canada.
Okay, let me bring John back in there. You have not put the national interest first here. You are just responding to a small lobby, but a very powerful lobby group in this country.
I would say no to that, Dan. That's not true. I was a former minister for trade and commerce. I know the importance of tech. I know the importance of pharma. I've been around the world supporting Irish companies. But in this case, there is a need to recognise the product that we have, which is being bought all over the world, in terms of our beef. We need to stand up for Irish farmers, and the action that we've taken to say that we will not go to Mercosur is the appropriate action. Italy may be getting a deal on its olive oil. It may be getting a deal in France on their wine. But that doesn't mean that we have to sell out one of the best things that happened in our economy, which is farming. It doesn't just produce the best beef. It also protects our countryside. It has a role to play in terms of society. And we can't lose sight of that. And we can't be bullied by the European Union. And that is what has been happening up to now. Well, that deal, the Mercosur deal, has not been debated and discussed as it should be and should have been. And I still think that with the Italian farmers now taking to the streets and protesting, I'm hoping that they will see sense and vote against Mercosur on Friday.
Well, are the government and Micheál Martin not effectively being bullied here by the farming lobby and Independent Ireland into voting against a deal that is probably going to go through anyway?
No, because we have to hold out hope for the deal not going through. We have to hold out hope that Italy will eventually see sense before tomorrow's vote and see it through. The Taoiseach, you know, and others who indicated that they might support Mercosur should the conditions be right. But the conditions are not right. How can you have farmers investing in beef and that type of farm and then turn around and say, oh, by the way, we're not going to do that anymore? There is a chance to protect Irish beef, to improve the markets abroad, and at the same time to gain new markets.
All right, I want to
We're in a changing world full of changing tariffs. And I think that we have to respect Irish farmers, and indeed not just on this issue, but on the many other issues where they're being bullied by, where Ireland seems to be, you know, giving in to Europe without putting the case for Ireland.
Let me bring in Michael Healy-Ray here, the Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, and an independent TD for Kerry. There is a certain hypocrisy here, isn't there, Michael Healy-Ray, to see Micheál Martin in China pushing and promoting for more free trade and to oppose a deal here that the majority of countries in Europe are supporting, including Italy, who have had concerns but now feel, it appears, confident that there are safeguards in place?
Not at all, Ciara. I would not agree with that. The exact opposite, exactly, is the fact. I've listened very closely there to people like Dan, and even comments yourself made there, which I have to take up on. You said that the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste were bullied by Independent Ireland or anybody else. That's totally wrong. I mean, if anybody read the programme for government, which was negotiated 12 months ago, it clearly stated that this government would oppose the Mercosur deal as it was presented and would work with like-minded countries in opposition to it and trying to do something better for the Irish farmers. Now,
but there were changes. I mean, and in fairness, Micheál Martin acknowledged, did he not, yesterday, that there were changes brought in. There was the front-loading of CAP. There were further safeguarding measures brought in.
Everybody had a good run at giving an answer. I'd love the opportunity of making a statement on this if I can. And the statement I will make to you is, the Taoiseach is doing excellent work. The Tánaiste has. Minister Hayton, remember, for the last 12 months has been attending meetings on a very regular basis, including up till yesterday, with his counterparts, his agricultural ministers throughout Europe, and doing our best, working with like-minded countries on this issue. And yes, what we're doing is we're voting for what I would call food security. We're voting for the future of Irish farms. And for anybody to be downplaying it and saying, oh, well, this is against trade, it's not. These issues can be dealt with in isolation. But what we have to look at, the backbone of this country, yes, we appreciate our tech, we appreciate our farmer, all of the other foreign investment that we have here. But at the end of the day, we are an agricultural, predominantly agricultural-based economy. We have to see after our farmers. And for anybody using the word bullying, not just let me please finish.
That's because you were a little late joining us today, Michael. So that's why we've come to you that later. But I would like to come back to you on that. I just want to bring in Dan O'Brien too, because what Michael has said there is, look, he recognises the pharma, he recognises the tech industry, but it is rural Ireland, it is farmers who are the back bone, and we have to protect them first.
Well, there's certainly a case for food security in an age that's becoming increasingly insecure. It is a good thing that we have a vibrant rural economy, which includes farming. But with the greatest respect to Deputy Healy-Ray, we are not an agriculture-based economy anymore. We ceased being an agricultural-based economy decades ago. We are now predominantly an economy that is prosperous on the basis of services, on high-tech goods manufacturing. That's why we're prosperous. It's not because we protect our industry. That's the position it took up to the 1950s after independence. And frankly, it was a disaster for this country and the people of this country. We have thrived when we've opened up and taken advantage of trading opportunity like other countries, small countries in Northern Europe. That is what we need to do. This is an opportunity to do that. We need to diversify our trade to countries that are not going to weaponize it against us, as the big powers are increasingly doing. This, for a whole range of reasons, is good for Ireland. And 5 years from now, when we come back to talk about it, I would guarantee that we will all agree that on the whole, it has been a benefit for Ireland.
Okay, can I bring Michael Healy-Ray back in on that?
I'd be delighted to answer that to Dan very directly. And I respect Dan very, very much, a very knowledgeable person. I like reading his writings all the time. But Dan, don't forget, we need food. We need proper food. And nobody does food and the production of agricultural products better than us. The IFA will tell you that. We have excellent young people going to agricultural colleges. We have excellent family farms who produce the best of milk in the most environmentally friendly way. We produce the best of beef and lamb in the most environmentally friendly way. Nobody sees after land better than we do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have received the nitrates derogation a couple of weeks ago. We would not have gotten that. Only we've proved that we're improving our water quality. Our farmers are investing greatly on their farms. And yes, I do appreciate all sectors of society from an economical point of view. And with all due respect, Dan, and you're a great economist, you're a great man, but you don't have a monopoly on being right on everything, no more than I don't.
All right, but there are other...
I appreciate our farmers, and I'd like it if everybody else did as well. And I'll defend our farmers, and I'll make no apology for it.
All right, well, let's just say it's not just Dan, because the economist, Professor Alan Matthews, has done research, saying, as you're probably aware, producers might not want this to happen, but in the context of normal volatility of beef prices, it is certainly not a major threat. John Fitzgerald of the ESRI has said exactly the same thing. This is a scare story without real foundation. Maximum imports of beef from Mercosur would be limited to 1.5% of beef production. Just to go to the nitrates derogation, though, Michael Healy-Ray, because you brought it up there, and one of our previous speakers, Andy Bounds, who's the EU and trade correspondent with the Financial Times, said this decision will actually go down really badly in Europe. And part of his understanding, he said, when he was here in Ireland covering the nitrates derogation and the fact that we got that again, was that that would open the door, that that would unlock Ireland's support for Mercosur, that it is a tit for tat, that that's how real politic works, and that we haven't kept up our side of the bargain.
Not at all, Ciara. I'd refute that absolutely. Minister Hayden, for example, he did an awful lot of very sound, solid, sincere work in helping us and ensuring that we got a nitrates derogation. When Commissioner Roswell came over, she visited family farms. She saw firsthand the clover growing the ground, the fact that farmers are reducing our nitrates output, and that we are doing everything we can to improve. There's three separate big agricultural issues at the moment in Ireland. Number one was the nitrates. That started for the time being. Now we've got our derogation. Number two is Mercosur, whether we can have a good, strong bloc, a minority bloc, sorry, to oppose this deal as it's presented. And number three, of course, which is coming down the track at us heavy and hard, and that is our presidency of the EC, and also then the renegotiations of a cap deal. And I have every confidence in the good people that are working for this government. I have every confidence in the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste and our people in agriculture, predominantly Minister Hayden. We will do our best to get the best deal that we possibly can. But for anybody to suggest, and anybody that knows technically about the nitrates derogation, they will know that there was a specialist committee in Europe that had to look at this on scientific basis and on facts. And okay, the facts are, not just finally, the facts are our water quality in Ireland, long term, is improving. The facts, the statistics back that up, and farmers are improving their farming methods, and our regulation is very strict.
Okay,
and
I want to bring in Dennis Drennan on that, because that was the point being made by Andy Bounds a little earlier on The Hard Shoulder. You got your nitrates derogation, but he said it was a tit for tat. It was meant to secure support for Mercosur. And now you're going to go back and try and negotiate cap. And do you know what? You've lost some political capital here in Europe in Brussels by taking this symbolic stance against Mercosur?
I don't agree. I think if you asked Dan, would he be happy if he discovered that he's fed his child, that he said he's happy to feed Brazilian beef to, would he be happy if he discovered that some of the Brazilian beef that had came in that was tested positive for an illegal hormone was what he had fed to his child? You know, I mean, we have to look at this. Like, we want a level playing field. If you look at how farming is being treated in comparison to how the automobile industry, we've fallen behind China in the production of electric cars. And what did the EU do? They slapped a tariff on Chinese cars coming into Europe to make them less attractive to the consumer in Europe. What do we do with beef? We remove the tariffs to make it cheaper. But we will compete with anybody in the world if we have a level playing field. But the cost incurred with producing the food that the European consumer is demanding adds to the cost. There's huge costs with environmental issues, with regulation, with traceability. We do that every single day, and we're willing to do it. But here we're being sold out.
All right, sorry, I just want to bring in Dan to respond to that. We'll be flooded with cheaper meat here, beef that's been filled with banned hormones is entering the food chain. We shouldn't be comfortable with that.
So just a couple of points. Deputy Healy-Red is absolutely right. Nobody has a monopoly on wisdom and being correct. And let's just imagine in a worst case scenario for the beef industry that it turns out to be more challenging than I anticipated it to be and most economists anticipated it to be. The amount of beef there's a cap on the amount of beef the Brazilians can send in here. That, relative to European production, is tiny. So even in a worst-case scenario, it may have a negative impact for the industry here. Does that mean there won't be the national herd will be culled and we won't have any beef? Not at all. It could have a negative impact for the industry, but it is certainly not going to mean, by any stretch of the imagination, that Britain, which takes most of our beef, is going to stop eating Irish beef, that Irish people are going to stop eating Irish beef. On the health issue, I'm a great believer in giving consumers choice. You put a clear label on something. If you go into your supermarket and you see Brazilian beef and you have any concerns about it, you don't have to buy it. Nobody's going to be forced to buy the Brazilian beef. You'll have your choice of Irish beef or Brazilian beef. As long as it's clearly labeled, consumers should be able to make up their own minds and choose for themselves.
All right, we're going to leave that conversation there for now. My thanks to Dennis Drennan, to Dan O'Brien, to Michael Healy-Ray and to John McGuinness.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.